Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Review Podcast. This is Jen Bachman. I am one of the co-hosts, I guess, of our WDW News Review, and I'm here with one of my wonderful co-hosts, Cindy Ellicott. Cindy, how are you doing today?
Morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. So, Cindy, it has been a while, I feel like, since we've gotten together. So I'm really excited to record with you. We're going to talk about the Disney dining plan today, which is it's news, I guess, because it's relatively new and coming back. Yeah. And lots of things now still coming out about it.
Yeah, lots of people still waiting to kind of get an idea of how it's working for other people and, you know, how it's going to look for them, that kind of thing. But it was one of the things that was most asked for, or begged for, to bring back. A lot of people really wanted that to come back and missed it. So the fact that it did finally come back made it news.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. This is a great idea for a show. Maybe before we get started, like I said, we haven't gotten to catch up for a little while, and I'd love to know what's going on with you and what's good in your life.
You know, we have had the most beautiful winter here for Saskatchewan, Canada, kind of northern Saskatchewan. Usually we're looking at this time of year, we're still in that deep freeze minus 36, minus 40. And I mean, Fahrenheit or Celsius at that minus 40, it's equal. So it's about the same. But, you know, last week we hit 55 Fahrenheit above.
And, oh, wow.
You know, we've got very little snow. The snow comes and it just melts away. We'll have a few cold days, and then we have the above 0 days to make up for it. So we're kind of cruising through winter, and it's hard to believe that winter is, you know, so close to being over, because we don't feel like we really started it yet.
No, that sounds like awesome weather from what you typically describe.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, but I'm feeling really like discombobulated, like waiting for what's going to happen, or I feel like I haven't really got started on typical winter. So.
Yeah. Well, I know too, in conversations with you and in my travel background, your area is one place where you can see the Northern Lights. And I think there are a few times a year where it's good, but when we had talked, I had thought like, well, it can't be in, you know, December or January, because it's just much too cold for me. But maybe this would have been the year to come up this time of year to see them.
It would have been, yeah. Nice. It would have been perfect.
So beyond weather, anything good you're looking forward to?
Just the summer cruise, I guess. Getting ready for that and looking forward to it. This is a really busy time for me at work, so I kind of have my head down, and just our year end is the end of March, so we go through all of our planning and strategic planning and capital expenditures and requests, stuff like that this time of year. So I'm just looking at a computer screen and keeping my head down, trying to get everything done.
Yeah, that's relatable. And I think maybe for our listeners that haven't listened a lot before or aren't sure what we're talking about when we say summer cruise. So we have a group of EDCOT listeners that are going on a cruise together. It is on Royal Caribbean July 13th. And I think we actually have a few rooms still available under the group rate. So if anyone's listening and thinking like, oh, I may want to do that, just drop a message in EDCOT, or you could shoot me a note and I'm happy to help. And Tracy McCoy is our other agent supporting that. So you can reach out to her as well. But we are all, I think, really excited about the cruise.
And, yeah. And even if you just want to go on a cruise and get a good deal, reach out to Tracy or Jen, because I looked at the prices and it's quite significantly different if you're just trying to book it through Royal Caribbean at this point.
Yes.
So we won't make you hang out with us. But
that's right. I mean, everyone is welcome, but it won't be forced interaction if you don't want it.
Exactly.
Well, we've had a weird winter here in Nashville. So we had like a little over a week of what is very much deep freeze for this area. But now we're back up in the 50s and 60s. So I'm excited. Joe and I will be celebrating our 17th wedding anniversary next week.
Ooh,
And so we are currently making plans for that.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. I had to do the math a couple times because
it's one of those odd years too, right? Yeah. Easy if it's 20.
Yes. Well, that's what I did. I was like, okay, well, in 2027, it would be 20. So let me back it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's maybe get into the show and talk a little bit about the dining plan. So I'd love to ask you, you know, you mentioned this was asked for a lot or highly anticipated in return, and we can get through all of that. But were you waiting for the dining plan to come back?
I was hoping it would come back. It have kind of a unique position being Canadian that it's often offered as a bonus with a vacation package where you can get free dining if you're from the UK or Canada. So I was waiting to see if that would still happen, what it would look like as comparison to other deals, because there's been more deals now than there was prior to COVID. Mm-hmm. There weren't as many discounts on the resort rooms and stuff like that. So now it takes a little bit more math to figure out if it's going to work for us. But it's exciting to have that opportunity.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Right now, actually, up until February 14th, there's a Disney Plus subscriber promotion for free dining for some summer dates, which typically in the past, pre-COVID, we hadn't seen a ton of free dining for those peak seasons. So I think that's really interesting. But I think maybe they're still trying to reintroduce it to people who have been gone for a while and may have forgotten or just hadn't experienced Disney before.
Exactly.
So this dining plan option was announced a while ago, but it was eligible starting for trips January 8th, 2024. So we're, I don't know, a month or so in here. Have you heard specific feedback, good or bad, about the dining plan from those who have been able to use it?
So there's been a lot of feedback saying, because the price did go up, that it's questionable whether the value is there anymore. And in response to that, I've seen a few of the Disney bloggers go at it with, you know, let's just go and spend a day there using the dining plan and see how it works out. So that's what I've watched. And it's, you know, I think it comes down to the same thing it did prior to COVID. You have your reasons for why you want to use the dining plan. And you may find different things of value to you. Mm-hmm. If you're strictly counting the money at this point now, it might be right on the balance of whether it's valuable enough for your family, depending on the dynamic of your family.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I usually will tell clients that ask it, whether or not it's a good value for you is a personal choice. Some people see value as it's one less thing for me to worry about, and I want that more inclusive feel, and they're not going to count pennies on menus to say, oh, but I need to, you know, get this entree over this to maximize the value. So there's that group of people, and that's a very real demographic. I tend to not be wired that way, and I always want to hack the system, so to speak. And so that's probably the other group, is how do I maximize the value and realize true savings? And I think as we get into the show here, we'll talk about what we found out in our research as to how easy it is to do that, and maybe tips and pitfalls as well.
Sure. Do you want me to just kind of go through what it is and how it's working right now since it
came out? Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Sure. Okay, so let's say what it is, how it works, who can use it. Dining plan, the regular dining plan, is one table service credit, one quick service credit, and one snack credit per night at a resort, as well as a refillable resort mug. The other option is the quick service plan, which is two quick service credits, one snack credit per night at the resort, and one refillable resort mug per person. The table service credits entitle you to one entree with a beverage, alcoholic if you're over 21, or non-alcoholic, and a dessert at a regular table service restaurant or one buffet or family style meal at places like Cape May or Tusker's, places like that, with a beverage. Again, alcoholic if you're over 21 or non-alcoholic where available. What it doesn't include is embellishments or sides that you might want to add on. And it doesn't include dessert if you use it at breakfast. So if you go for a breakfast buffet, it doesn't include an additional dessert, even though it does include a beverage if you want. The quick service credit is one entree from a quick service restaurant. And when you look at the restaurants, all restaurants on your the Disney World Go app or on the website, you are able to just use a filter and choose just quick service restaurants. So you'll know that those are all quick service restaurants. Or if you're looking at all restaurants, it'll say whether it's a quick service or table service restaurant underneath the name of the restaurant. So quick service, you get one entree from quick service restaurant or participating kiosk, although I've noticed most of the kiosks are only offering snack, use of snack credits now, and one non-alcoholic beverage or one alcoholic beverage if you're over 21 for each quick service credit. The snack credit entitles you to one snack. That can be a regular soft drink, it can be a bottle of water, it can be a Mickey ice cream bar or Mickey's treats, those kind of things. There's also things in the convenience stores at the resorts and that you can use with snack credits, as far as granola, those little bags of treats and the from the candy store and stuff like that. So all of those things, you will see that it has the DDP symbol that means it can be used as a snack credit, can be used to purchase them.
Awesome. That was great information. A couple of things that came to mind as you were talking. So I believe, now it's been a few years, but I believe previously for the table service entitlements, I don't know if officially you could choose between an appetizer or a dessert, or they were just nice and let you swap, but I do know that was an option.
Yes.
And I am a little sad that that is not an option anymore, because I can be a dessert person, absolutely, but I am for sure an appetizer person. And what we like to do as a family was, like, I'd order an appetizer and then my husband and I would share that. And then he'd order the dessert and then we'd share that. And so I think this is a little more limiting in that sense. And then the standard plan officially is called the Disney Dining Plan, which is confusing. Like, I wish they would have called it something else, because everyone is saying Disney Dining Plan, meaning both options. But we'll get right with that. But they've now moved, prior to COVID, which was really the last time we saw dining plans. And then they went away with COVID and now they're back and revised. But prior to COVID, you had three different dining plans to choose from. And there was one that I would just call the Eat All Day program.
Exactly.
Eat All Day plan. And it included multiple table service restaurants a day, and I believe had more flexibility on where you could use those credits. And so that's one thing we should talk about. So the dining plan cannot be used at all locations just because you're on Disney property. And different under the Disney dining plan, that table service plan, different restaurants may not be included at all. Like, a great example of that we just saw come up, I think, in the group was someone was really excited about Space 220 and was thinking, like, man, this would be a great use of the dining plan. And it would be, but Space 220 is not a part of the dining plan. And I think it takes a lot of thought and research, or working with someone that has that, to make sure you're getting the value that you're anticipating because of that.
Yeah, when you're making your plans, that you don't show up there and say, oh, I'm using the Disney dining plan, and they say, oh, we don't accept that.
Right.
That would be disappointing. I see there's a few, and typically it's the ones that are not owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mexican La Hacienda in Mexico, the Italian one, the pizza places included, I guess, because it's really weird how they're doing the pizzas this time. Like, you can use table service credit to get one individual pizza, but you can't use like two or four to get the big one if you want that big pizza anymore. When you get to Disney Springs is where it's going to become really difficult, because some of them that aren't owned by Disney are still accepting it, like Raglan Road, but then there's others that aren't, like Wine Bar George and the new Summerhouse restaurant. So you're going to really have to do your research when you're making your plans as far as what your reservations are going to be, to find out if they do use the or accept the dining plan.
Yeah. And then even to further complicate it, some restaurants are two table service dining credits and some are one. So you need to understand the difference in those. And what I found, Cindy, doing this research, and I hadn't caught this previously, but here's an example, and I just butcher this name, so nobody leave me bad comments about this, but Akershus, or Akershus, or however you want to say that. It's the Princess Dining Experience in Norway in Epcot. It is one table service credit for breakfast, which I think historically it had been one table service credit for all meals, but it is one credit for breakfast, but two for lunch and dinner.
Yes.
So the nuance here is significant. And
some of the show packages are accepting, like they do it as signature dining, say Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. They will accept it for two table service credits per person. But then some of the shows aren't accepting it. So they're not doing any dining plan coordination as a signature dining thing. So again, you're going to want to know going in for sure if that's included or not.
Yeah. And I think this is important, because even though I just talked about, like, maybe this is good for people that want that inclusive feel, this does not work the same way that an all-inclusive resort would work, where, you know, you show up and you can order six entrees if you want. No one's going to say anything to you. And, you know, outside of some resorts have additional paid experiences, but by and large, if you go to an all-inclusive resort, you can drink all you want, you can eat all you want, and you're not limited in the sense that this plan really does limit you to stay within these guardrails.
Yeah, I mean, the buffets and the family service, family-style dining places are included, but again, a lot of them are signature dining where you're spending two table service credits. Some of them are, like you said, one for breakfast, two for dinner or lunch. And it's going to take a lot of research. So,
yeah. And so, Cindy, you mentioned that as a Canadian, like, this is sometimes included as a promotion, but you can typically purchase this for your packages.
Yeah.
I think one thing maybe we can talk about is who can purchase this and what are the rules for purchasing. So this is only available for on-site guests. So if you are staying, and when I say on-site, we're talking about Walt Disney World Resort properties. This is not for people that are staying in Disney Springs area hotels. Like, you have to be in a Walt Disney Resort.
The wording is Disney owned or operated or and operated.
Yes. And then on top of that, it has to be purchased for everyone in your party for the entire length of stay. So maybe the only exception to that is that you can't purchase a dining plan for kids under the age of three. They eat off your plate, essentially. So where there's great value in that is if you have a healthy eater, like my daughter was when she was that age, we would go to buffets and she would eat her weight in food for no additional cost. So, you know, where that gets tricky is if you don't want to pay for your 3-year-old, which you always have the option to pay separate, but if you don't want to pay for them and you're at a place that has, you know, you're choosing an entree, you're choosing a dessert, your toddler may not always want to eat what you want. And so right. You have to think about that as well.
Or you have plans that you're going to get the big, huge steak and it's going to, you know, be cost effective on the dining plan. But the only thing they're going to realistically eat is chicken fingers. You know that. Yes. So you end up getting a chicken finger meal, which is half the price.
Right. Yeah. So that's an important component of value too. So it is for guests by staying at Disney owned and operated hotels. You do have to have a ticket component to your package. The nuance there maybe is if you are just a regular guest, and I'll quantify regular by saying non-annual pass holder, non-military, and non-DVC, that is what you have to do to get the dining plan. You have to have a package with tickets on the package. Now, if you are military or if you have an annual pass, you still have to be staying at a Disney hotel. But you can also add the dining plan to that. So I think that's really good for people to know. And then for DVC members, they can add that as well. It has to be done through member services. And I believe they do have to have tickets in some shape or form.
So the expectation is that for your length of stay, you would have one day of park tickets. So if DVC, if they're an annual pass holder, that's covered. If not, they would have to buy a ticket for one day. So if you want to do a resort stay and you only want to go to the park one day, you can still get the dining plan for your length of stay, but you do have to buy at least one park day ticket for each person in the room.
Perfect. Let's talk about price. What are the prices? How do you feel about the prices?
So the dining plan, which is the table service, one quick service and one snack credit, is now $94.28 per adult. And remember, gratuities and taxes are on top of that. And $29.69 per child age 3 to 9. The quick service is with the two quick service credits and one snack credit is $57.01 per adult. And $23.83 per child 3 to 9. And that is a significant increase because it's up about $20. The regular dining plan that had the one table service, one quick service, and it had two snack credits prior to this was $72 per adult. And I don't remember what the child was. And the quick service was $34 per adult. So they've taken away one snack credit and they've increased it about $20 per adult, and the children's has not gone up that much, but there's not a significant difference between the dining plan or the quick service plan.
Yeah, I think, for kids, it's like $6 difference between the table service and the quick service. So, I mean, if you have kids and you're going to character meals that aren't signature meals and you're thinking, might this be worth it for me to upgrade from the quick service to table service? Quite possibly. I mean, because even the kids' price at Chef Mickey's is going to set you back $30, $40, depending on the season.
Exactly.
So that's a lot. And I'm glad you talked about the difference in them taking away two snack credits, because what we used to do when we had it was, if you've been listening, you might be saying, oh, but I eat three meals a day, right? And both plans really only have two meal allotments per night of your stay. And so breakfast will typically be the one that gets left out because that's usually the more affordable meal to pay out of pocket for or make alternative arrangements. But when they had the two snack credits, what we would do as a family is there were things like cinnamon rolls and, you know, different pastries from the bakery in France and donuts and stuff that you could use a snack credit on that really took the place for us, at least, of that breakfast meal. And so you could still do that using your snack credit, but then you're not getting a mid-afternoon snack that you may really need when everyone needs ice cream in the middle of a hot day.
Exactly. And with the two of them, they used to have the option to, even if you had quick service left over, you could break it down and get three snack credits with it. And then you could use your snack credits to purchase things like out of the convenience stores, like the Mickey candy, or we would go to, Ghirardelli, is it? The chocolate place, yeah, in Disney Springs, and we would buy the big bags of chocolates because, it, you know, with our leftover snack credits, they would charge us so many, seven snack credits per, you know, $40 bag of chocolates or whatever, right? So we would use up all our snack credits before we went home doing that. Now, you're not going to probably have leftover snack credits now, but you also don't have the option of, like, turning quick service into snack credits or using them like to put together and purchase other things either. So that's been taken away.
Yeah. And we like to use that option to convert into snack credits for the festivals at Epcot.
Right.
And so
exactly.
That is a winner.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but one snack credit a day isn't going to get me very far at Food and Wine.
Nope. When we were working through this and I was working on meals, I was like, okay, I'm actually not eating near as much with the dining plan as what I had put down for my own because I just added in some snacks every day.
Yep.
Proud of
all. I think what I saw, and we're going to go through a little exercise here about Cindy and I tried to game the system, so to speak, and we'll talk about what choices went into that. But I've seen from a few different blogs, like in general, the guidance in terms of what a credit is worth is, and this is for the adults. So the quick service credit is worth $23. And then when I say worth, like, I guess I have to quantify, that is the break-even point. Like, you should look to spend around that in your quick service meal to break even. Anything more than that, you're great.
That's the meal and the beverage.
That's the meal and the beverage, right?
Yeah.
For table service, it's $59. And then snacks is about that $6 mark. So I remember going with free dining one time and we had my dad with us. And if you have not ever heard me speak on the show or just have no idea how my mind works, you may be surprised by this, but no one else will be. My dad got a water with a snack credit, Cindy, and I came unhinged. I was like, what are
exactly.
you doing? Why would you do that?
Just wasted my money.
Right. So you could certainly get a water, but that's not, waters are expensive at Disney. They're not quite $6 yet. So,
well, the thing you have to be careful with now is I saw it pointed out on one from the, I was watching the Mammoth Club blog, and they were ordering something with a side of cheese sauce, and that automatically defaulted to a snack credit. She was doing it on the mobile order and she had to go back and review the order and change that to, they were going to pay for that 75 cent side of cheese sauce out of pocket instead of using one of their snack credits. And apparently when you're ordering from the quick service, the cashiers, it's automatically coming up as a snack credit as well. And you have to ask them to, I want to pay out of pocket. Don't use my snack credit for that. Or you're going to end up using your snack credit up on 75 cent sides.
That is a huge tip. That's great insight. Did you find it, while doing your research, easy or difficult to determine what was a viable snack credit and what wasn't?
Extremely difficult. And I think that might get easier as more people are using it. But for right now, it's confusing. Like, I go on the website and it says that, like, I was looking Hollywood Studios trying to find snacks. Nothing was coming up as where there was available snacks. But then when I looked at another website, it listed Hollywood Scoops and Fairfield. There was those three in that area there anyway. Express, they all came up as offering items. So I could actually get my blueberry waffle with the whipped cream on it and stuff like that for a snack credit there. But it wasn't showing that on the Disney, on the website. It was not showing them offering. It says no dining plans accepted when you look at Hollywood Scoops on the Disney website.
Yeah, I was having a lot of trouble too. I wish they would, on the menus, on the app and on the website, indicate what could be a snack credit and if there are items either included or excluded, however the easiest way to do that is. And part of the reason I'm saying this is for people to think about, but also as we get into our exercise here in a little bit, like there is a possibility that some things that I picked out may not be eligible. And it is a very real possibility if you're doing this at home in preparation for your trip, you may not know. Now, once you get to Disney World and look at an actual menu, you will see that Disney dining plan icon that Cindy talked about.
Yeah.
But to do this for preparation at home, or even if you're in the park and you're thinking, gosh, I really want this snack I heard about on TikTok and it's on the other side of the park and I'm going to use the dining credit for it, you may get there and say, oh, I can't use a dining credit for that, right? So I do wish they would make this very clear and user-friendly. And I think that's intentional in a way, because it's not in Disney's best interest to give discounted food. And, you know, that's kind of almost to me like works like insurance, right? You have the people who are high users of insurance and are maximizing the value of insurance. And then you have people that like go to the doctor once a year for a checkup and that's it. And then, you know, you're using insurance companies use that cost to cover those who use it all the time. That's kind of how I see the Disney dining plan working. You're gonna have those people who understand how to eke every penny out of this and intentionally do it. And then you're going to have, I venture to say, the majority who are at break even or less.
Yeah.
You agree with that or?
I agree with that. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I think that it's the pros are going to fall on the side of convenience and knowing that that's paid ahead of time and those kind of things.
Yep. So when you were doing the exercise of what would you order on the Disney dining plan to maximize the value, did you find that you were ordering things hypothetically that you would normally want? Or did you feel pressure to order whatever the most expensive menu item was?
So I did it two ways. I did one where I ordered the things that I would normally eat, but I had to stay within the, this is a table service, this is a snack credit,
sure,
and use the credits. And then I did one where we did the exercise to try and beat the dining plan. And at that point, I absolutely was just looking for the highest priced item on the, mm-hmm, on the menus for the parks.
Yeah. I think that's interesting to think about too, just psychologically, like would I normally order this or am I ordering it because I perceive it's a higher value? And then if it's really not what you want, is it really a higher value? Like I found myself picking things and I'm like, oh, this is not. I have one thing on my Beat the Dining Plan list that is seafood based and I don't eat seafood. So yeah, that is a fantastic example. So let's get into all the research we did for the sake of the listeners of WD Review here. So we had this challenge. We made some assumptions for this exercise. So it was, we looked at both the quick service and the table service or the Disney dining plan. And I just did beat the system. But Cindy is an overachiever and did beat the system in just a day in. So do you want to start with the Animal Kingdom? And we can talk through what we would order and what the prices would be versus dining plan prices.
Sure. Find my page here. Okay, so Animal Kingdom was, I decided to do a quick service at Flame Tree Barbecue. This is the Beat the System one, right? Beat the mm-hmm. Dining Plan? Yeah. Flame Tree and Barbecue. I went for the rib chicken pulled pork platter for $18.99 on a quick service and ordered the Island Breeze for $14 to go with it.
Cindy, that's my exact menu.
Yeah. And I think we're going to run into that because yeah. we were both looking for the most expensive items, right?
Yep. Yep. Side note, I've never had the Island Breeze, and I enjoy
it looks some, really good, right?
Yeah. I enjoy some frozen rum cocktails, and it's rum yeah. and layers of mango and raspberry.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked really good.
So,
and then I went to, for my second quick service, I went to Harambe and had the shrimp rice bowl for $14.99 and the leopard's eye drink for $17, which is passion fruit, mango, kiwi with snow leopard vodka.
Okay, so that's where we differ. So here on this day, I went to Satouli Canteen and I did the combination bowl, which is chimichurri and beef and chicken. And I did not actually order the most expensive drink on the menu, but I did the Grog's Ale, which is just a really fun beverage if you're in Pandora. So my meal there came to $28.74. So what'd you do for a snack?
For the snack, I went to Yak and Yeti Local Foods and I had the banana pudding parfait for $8.49. So my total for the day was $74.50 on a quick service, which would have been $57.01.
So and this is something that I would not have known if I just looked at the Disney menus. I found out, Cindy, that at Tamu Tamu, now it says under snack credits that you cannot use them for alcoholic drinks, but there appears to be a loophole in the system.
Ah.
So you can order at Tamu Tamu, at least as of time of recording, a Dole Whip pineapple hard cider float, and that's considered a snack. And it has alcohol in it. So there's the nuance. It's not a beverage. And that is $14.
Wow.
So very similar total to you. So 74, 73 was my total. And I did not bother to calculate tax, especially the nuance of Animal Kingdom's actually in a different county than the other park, so there's a slightly different tax rate, and some of the snacks include yeah. tax and don't. So, like, this is I'm not even bothering with tax in this exercise, but
with the tax, I did it just at a straight flat 10%. Figured that I mean, it was yeah. tax, that's what it was. And you know, it does end up with you spending a little bit more money on tax and gratuities when you're ordering these the most expensive meals, right?
Yep. No, that's a great point. So, but for like quick service and well, you're not tax is included in your package if you're adding the dining plan. So the tax is already included. The gratuities are the piece that are not. And so for quick service, you don't have to plan for that because you don't do gratuities at quick service. But table service, to your point, like if you're ordering the most expensive item, your gratuities is going to be higher. So, all right, we beat the system at Animal Kingdom. But one thing I notice is we drank a lot.
Yep.
And we ate a lot of red meat and pork. So just everybody's dining preferences are different. Everybody's drinking preferences are different. And so we are strictly talking from a, hey, this is gaming the system. But
yeah.
if you don't eat meat, if you don't drink alcohol, your value is just going to be different. So you want to go over to, well, actually tell me about your day at Animal Kingdom if you just ordered what you normally would have ordered. Did you come out ahead?
Yes, I did. So I literally only spent $42.48 on what I would normally eat. And that gave me, so I did, I had two quick service meals and I had three snacks actually and spent $42.48.
Okay. So you said you had three snacks?
Yeah.
So if you had the dining plan that only covered your two quick service meal and one snack,
yeah,
it would not have been financially worth it then.
No.
Right. Okay. Interesting. All right. Let's move over to Magic Kingdom. And I think there's an important nuance here that makes a difference.
There is.
So we did quick service for Magic Kingdom as well. And yeah. I was a little crafty in my suggestion that we do this because quick service does not, well, quick service does include an alcoholic beverage if you're over 21, but Magic Kingdom does not serve alcohol at quick service locations.
Exactly.
So that amplifier is removed from this scenario. So how did you do at Magic Kingdom on your sober day, Cindy?
So I managed to do a quick service barbecue footlong for $15.79 at Casey's with a mint julep drink for $6.99. And then my second quick service was Pecos Bill's with the fajita platter for $15.49 and the Simply Orange juice for $5.29. I did a snack at the Plaza Ice Cream for the Brownie Sundae for $8.79, and I did not beat the system. It was $50.70. I was just under.
Is that with tax?
No.
So maybe with you tax. Would have beat it with tax.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had a similar experience, I think. I also got the fajita platter at Pecos Bill. I got the fountain beverage there because, and this is another thing with the dining plan, you went for the orange juice because it was the most expensive. And I thought about it, but I could not rationally order orange juice with fajitas. So I went with the fountain drink, which was $4.49. You did better on the snack than I did. So I did the I Lava You float from Sunshine Terrace. And that was $7.29. And then here's where I was just like, well, what can I get? That's expensive. And even though I don't eat seafood, I went to the Columbia Harbor House and got the lobster roll, which was $16.99. And then they have Minute Maid lemon slushies there, which I believe do count as a drink. But this is one of those things you really don't know till you get there. But it is listed under beverages. So that was $5.99. And so my total pre-tax was $50.25. So I would be close, but not tremendous value. And considering that I have things on this menu that I don't actually eat.
Yeah, I would never eat a Casey's barbecue footlong. Actually, on my own choice day, I went to Cosmic Rays and had the kids' chicken fingers for $8.49. So instead of the $15.79 barbecue footlong.
So that's a great point too, Cindy. I order off the kids menu sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you are a person who shares food with others, if you are a person who can eat off the kids menu for some meals, like automatically the value of this greatly diminishes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so didn't do as great at Magic Kingdom, but let's move over to Epcot.
I think the point that brings home with the alcohol is that if you have children that are in your room and they are between the ages of 10 and 21, they're not eligible for alcoholic drinks. So anytime that they're using the dining plan, they're probably coming in under the cost.
That is an excellent point. So I have a 13-year-old son. Who obviously does not drink. And so I hadn't considered that. Now, there's nothing saying that another adult in our party couldn't enjoy their drink. But
if you get a nice server, they will do that sometimes.
Well, and I'm thinking more for quick service where they don't know how you distribute the food.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, okay, let's move over to Epcot. And here we did the Disney dining plan that includes the one table service, one quick service, and then the snack. How did you do here?
So I did pretty good with this one. I went to Chef de France and looked at it, and it is only one table service. It's not considered signature dining. So I had the filet de boeuf grill for $43.95. And for dessert, I had the chocolate tart with vanilla ice cream for $14.95. And I splurged out on the cocktail for a Cure Imperial for $23.95.
Wow, that is a hefty cocktail.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not sure if they have a limit on how much you can spend on the cocktails. I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. If they limit it to being under $20 or something, I was going to replace it with the Saint Germain cocktail for $19.85. So.
Okay. I know the drinks with the glow cubes, you can't do. But other than that, I'm not sure of a limit.
And then for my quick service, I went to Regal Barbecue and I had the Memphis dry rub pork ribs for $16.49. And I had a Tennessee lemonade for $16. And then for my snack, I went to Norwegian Bakery, Kringla Bakery, and had the school bread for $6.79. Sorry, I hadn't totaled that one here. Give me a minute. If you want to go through yours, then I'll...
It sounds like you came out ahead. So while you're
doing that... I know I came out ahead, but I'm just...
So while you're doing that, I'll hit mine. So I did hear La Cantina de San Angel, which is the Mexican quick service there. I did the tacos de barbacoa, so that's 16, and had, again, an alcoholic beverage, the Acapulco Colada for 17. And then for my snack this day, I did the apple pie gelato shake at Connections Eatery, which is $7.49. And as I mentioned earlier, Akershish is two table credits for lunch and dinner, but only one for breakfast. And the price of breakfast, it differs a little bit seasonally, but is about $55. So my total before any tax came to $95.49. So what I will note here too is I couldn't find any alcohol on a Akershish breakfast menu. I am fairly certain they have something. So that would definitely put me over the edge. But even without an alcoholic drink there, I did come out on top.
What was your total?
Without tax, $95.49.
Okay, and mine was $120.33.
So Epcot seems like a fairly good value as compared to some of the parks.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking the more expensive one there too, right? So the table service credit, that's $95. So
yes,
but we did come out ahead, yeah.
Yep. And it was more food I would eat.
Yes, this was more food there's no way when I'm walking around Epcot, I would have been eating all of these things either. So,
yeah.
The other thing is with yours for the Cantina one, that's actually one that's excluded and doesn't accept the dining plan.
So there you go.
I had put down the Churro Sundae from there at $7.99 and then realized this morning when I was looking at the list of ones that weren't accepted that one does not accept the dining plan. So
there you go. So that's how difficult it is.
And yet we researched everything that we could.
Yeah.
And until you find like a little blip somewhere that goes, oh, this one's not accepted.
Yeah.
You know, you're planning, thinking, okay, I'm going to have this. So.
Yeah. So, okay. I do feel like I could easily find 30 something dollars worth of value at quick service at another location. So I'm confident in my outcome.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Even though my inputs were off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Cindy, I think for Epcot, if you were not buying the dining plan and just eating as you normally would, was it similar pricing?
It was not. That one was a big difference where I was, in fact, just using the dining plan for the Epcot day, I was at $94.28.
Okay. So
I mean, I was borderline even eating the way. That's the cost. That's not my price. Just a minute here, out of pocket. I was $62.49 on eating what I would eat.
Okay, so not a value there. Interesting. No. Okay, so we've got one more park to talk about, Hollywood Studios. So here too, we looked at the Disney dining plan with the table service credit. So here I did Mama Melrose, and I actually love their steak there. And it comes with four cheese mac and cheese. And that was $36. I did a mini cannoli trio for my dessert here, which was $11. And then a tiramisu martini, that was $13. So $60 on that meal.
Nice.
Yeah. And for quick service, I did Backlot Express. So again, with the barbecue, they have a smoked barbecue pulled pork burger for $15.29. I did a Rum Island Breeze beverage for $15, so $30.29 for my quick service. And then a fan favorite, Jack Jack's Num Num Cookie for $6.29. So my total price before taxes was $96.58. So to me, this one was a little easier than the other parks, because I would probably eat all these things, but interested to hear what you came up with, Cindy.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with one that's a whammy. I did the research and found out that you can go to Hollywood and Vine and book the Fantasmic Dining Plan for one table service credit. So that's really? $75 right there. You can. I looked it up. So that's $75 right there. And then I did the a glass of Cab Sauvignon that was $23 on top of the buffet. So that was my table service meal there. My quick service, I went to Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo, and I got the Batuan Beef and Crispy Totopo Stir Fry for $18.99. The Outpost Puff Dessert for $7.79, and the Takodana Quencher for $16.50. And then I went to the Tanu Swirl Crunchy Cereals for dessert, for my snack credit for $9.99. And my total day was $149.29 without tax.
Wow. Okay.
And I would definitely do that Fantasmic Dining Plan when you could use that for one table service credit.
That's a great value.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of the table service, any of the Fantasmic plans, they said like Mama Melrose and all of them, you can one table service credit and you can get the Fantasmic dining plan with it.
And I think that's a change from the prior versions of the dining plan. Because you couldn't
get the Fantasmic.
Okay. No. So it sounds like if you are very intentional, if you are a meat and barbecue lover, and if you enjoy alcohol, this may be a good value in terms of price. I know we have some vegetarians that are listeners, and Chris Malik's a vegetarian as well. So I just ran the exercise to see like, okay, if I didn't have heavy meat-based entrees, what would that look like? And I did it for Animal Kingdom just because I think they have more interesting food for that type of cuisine. $67.49 for quick service is where I came out there, but that is driven again by alcohol. So I had like $28 worth of alcohol there. So if you are a vegetarian and you don't drink alcohol, this may not make financial sense.
Yeah, or even if you're just diet conscious or you're a light eater, some people have had medical issues where they can't eat a lot in one meal. So, or if you generally don't consume alcohol, like you said, it's alcohol driven.
So I think we both found, right, this is not easy to use even if you're not obsessed with maximizing value. It's just not really easy to use because you have to do so much research to understand what you can use it on and what you can't. Like your nacho cheese example, right? So people aren't going to realize, oh, I bought a side of 75 cents cheese and I'm now having to use a snack credit. So I think unless you are willing to and want to do that kind of research, people would wind up in a situation where they wind up paying out of pocket more than they anticipated because you're going to run out of things quicker.
And honestly, this is why I always tell people they should use a travel advisor, because you have these tips to give them, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're never going to find this out. I don't care how much research you do. You are not going to find this out just planning your trip. Going online and planning, you're just not going to find that out yourself. So using the travel advisor, they're going to have these list of tips and say, make sure you do this, make sure you check this. The other one, the tip to, you know, maximize character dining if you want to. Also, if you're doing a split stay, you can book your more expensive meals on the time. Like, you don't have to do the dining plan then for the whole stay. You do it for one part of the stay and book your more expensive meals on that part of the stay while you're using the dining plan. If you want to do those character meet and greets and stuff, then the character meals.
Yeah. Yeah. There are definitely a lot of ways to get value out, but it doesn't accidentally happen here. So that's the big takeaway for me and what I tell people. Like, if you are looking for a cost savings, maybe you will get it here, but it's not going to happen by accident and by you just, oh, this is where I want to eat and this is what I want to eat. It's not going to always result in a cost saving. So I think we did a lot of great research. Cindy, you taught me a few things. Hopefully I taught you a few things. And at the end of the day,
I just want to mention one more thing. Are you an annual pass holder, Jen?
I am currently, yes.
Yeah. And we were when we went to Disney. We probably won't be this time in Disney. But if you're an annual pass holder, when you're purchasing all those table service meals and stuff like that, you can get your 20% discount, which you can't get using the dining plan as well.
That's a great call. And like same with DVC, you get the 10% discount. Yeah. So yeah, that's even more math you would have to do in that case. Yeah. Well, hopefully we taught everyone a few things and gave everyone something to think about. But great idea for the show. I'm glad we covered it. And always awesome to chat with you, Cindy.
Yeah, it's been nice to catch up this morning. We also want to thank, of course, our sponsors, dvc-resale.com. Scott and Shannon Ferrioli are always supportive and always great friends to us here in the community. And so we do want to thank them for continuing to support the WDW Review podcast and our news show as well. And I'm going to say bippity boppity boo from the two of us here and our two that we're missing, our co-hosts today. We wish you magic and pixie dust until we see you again.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.